Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm sorry I lost my toupee on the way in this morning, but you'll suffer through that, I'm sure. I'd like to welcome you to Gates Presbyterian Church, and whether you've been here your whole life or if this is your first time, we're glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways to learn about GPC is to check out the ways we are church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a calendar and a list of announcements. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you or the elder who will be standing by the communion table at the end of the service today. And then during the offering, if you wouldn't mind, please sign the hospitality register that you'll find in the pews and then pass it along so we get everybody's name. And today, we'd like to welcome Rod Frohman as our guest preacher. He was with us last Sunday as well, and he did such a great job, we thought we'd invite him back again today. So thank you, Rod. A few announcements this morning. First of all, the Jamaica work project team has returned safely last night. I think they got in about 11:12 at night at the Rochester Airport, but they came back with everybody that they left with, so that was a good thing. And another announcement I'd like to make is on March 7th. March 7th is a Thursday night. We're going to be hosting our Guatemalan missionaries from out of Louisville, but they work in Guatemala. We had the opportunity to meet with them last year when we were in Guatemala on our mission trip in March. And they're going to be here to join us to talk a little bit about their work. We're going to invite the whole community to a potluck supper. So we invite you to put that date on your calendar, March 7th, and join us in room 2 for a potluck dinner and to meet Brian and Sandy. Are there any other announcements today? Okay, in that case, we will prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Please stand if you're comfortable and able to, and join me in the call to worship. Come with what you have. For you who grieve this day, know that you are invited to bring the broken pieces of your heart. Come with what you have. For you who come with gladness, know that your melody will find harmony. Come with what you have. For you weighed down by too many shoulds and what ifs, know that there, here you may lay down the burdens of guilt and shame. Come with what you have. For you who come seeking, know that your questions are safe in the presence of God. Join me now in this time where we bring our prayers to God of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not followed your ways or trusted your promises. We love only those who love us. We show kindness only to those who are kind to us. We give only when we expect to receive. Forgive us, Lord. Fill our hearts with selfless love. Change our lives by your matchless grace. These things we pray through Christ our Savior. Amen. Children of the Most High God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have received grace in good measure, spilling out and running over. Be merciful as God is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. But forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Amen. The first reading of the Word today comes from Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11 and 39 and 40. Listen now to the Word of God. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like a light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. So says the word of the Lord.
The second reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, beginning in chapter 6, verse 27. But I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning I posted on my Facebook account that I was preaching on this text about loving your enemies, and I tagged Melissa, who is in Florida. And so I said I was, meditating, which is, it's a short one today, meditating on this topic. But I wanted to clarify that one wouldn't infer that just because I was preaching on this topic and Melissa was out of town that she was my enemy. So I said I wanted to clarify that Melissa is my friend, to which she responded, "I'm glad you clarified that. Meanwhile, I'll pray from you from the poolside." So that's where Melissa is this morning, and good for her. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is the way the world works. We bomb and they kidnap. Terry Anderson understood this law of international politics. You remember Terry Anderson? He reported for the Associated Press in 1985. And in Lebanon in 1985, he was taken hostage by the Shiite militia, or known then as the Islamic Jihad Organization. He had almost 7 years of his life ripped off by a gang of hooligans quoting high-sounding slogans. They beat him, they brutalized him, they stole the best years of his life. And when Terry was freed from being a hostage after 7 years, a reporter asked him, "What would you like the United States to do to your captors? Would you like to see them brought to justice?" And Anderson replied, "It's not what I'd like. You see, I'm a Catholic, and as a Christian, I've been commanded to love my enemies." So today we find ourselves where we were last week, in the middle of the Sermon on the Plain, Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. And this week's sermon continues with some rather outrageous words about loving your enemies. This particular section focuses on the theme of reciprocity, as in, the measure you give, you will get back, or, most famously, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the reasoning is this: because God will take care of others and give them their due, we can be assured that God will take care of us, and therefore we can take risks in relationships, like even loving one's enemies. One of my favorite movies is Schindler's List. How many of you have seen Schindler's List? In discussing the movie on National Public Radio, director Steven Spielberg said that he was fascinated by Schindler because he was not a saint. And as you remember, Schindler was the German businessman who hid Jews in Poland during the Nazi terror. And so Spielberg said, and I quote, "It was a time when a saint wouldn't do you any good. All a saint would do is go and die with you in the gas chambers. What was needed was some sort of a crook who needed to know how the world works and how to get things done. That was Schindler." So, does the world really belong to crooks? Even clever ones, even nice ones? Today's gospel lesson suggests otherwise. Now, notice it does not say that the world belongs to saints, to perfect people who will attempt to do the ethically impossible, like loving one's enemies. Rather, the gospel lesson says that God is in control of the world belongs to God, and on the face of it, that doesn't seem to be a very correct analysis. Our gospel text says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and you will be called children of the Most High God. For God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked." Oh, really? In a winning is everything world, the use of the term loser has become common political parlance. Even war heroes who have spent time in a POW camp have been labeled as losers. Or more recently, teachers have been called losers. So Jesus' words seem to be a recipe for the production of a race of losers. If they come for your coat, give them the shirt off your back. If anyone takes away your goods, don't ask for them back. So not only do we lose our goods, but Jesus says don't even try to get them back. Maybe Christianity is a religion for losers. To those who have been ripped off, violated, raped, mugged, misjudged, oppressed, or victimized, it would be hard to think of a more devastating demand: love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. So, do good to the rapist, do good to the child abuser, love those who urinated on you in the high school boys' bathroom because you were gay. I know of no more devastating or difficult words of Jesus, particularly for the losers who live in a world of winners. Perhaps we are playing a different game than Jesus. We know the world's game. They bomb. Whether we bomb, they kidnap. Sometimes they bomb. We have played it from birth. The winners in that game get to go to the head of the class, to the great universities and the boardrooms of corporations. And the losers, well, they're housed in nursing homes and foster care and jails and shelters for the homeless. So is that what Jesus wants? More losers? More children and women and the poor thrown under the bus of the triage called the free economy? Hasn't there been enough giving up by the poor, enough cheek-turning by battered women, enough losing without calling for more losers? Are not the smart ones, those who finally wake up, buy a gun or buy a lawyer and get even? Are not the winners those who see the world as it is, a life of fear, as articulated by Thomas Hobbes, not by Jesus? A life of fear, and that the rules of the game of life are those of social Darwinism and not the social gospel. Jesus' words are an invitation to forsake the game that anybody can win, to forsake that game in order to play in a more challenging contest that is framed by the question, is this God's world or not? Is God really at work bringing good out of evil or not? And everything depends on our answer. Everything.
To invite any children forward. Have a seat here. Hi, Freya, have a seat. Hi, James. Good morning, everyone. Now, I have a question for you, and I want you to think for a minute. Have a seat. Who is the hardest person for you to love? Think about this for a minute. When you have your answer, raise your hand. Back up, Freya. Who is the hardest person for you to love? Yeah, okay. What's your answer?
James, he is a genius.
Oh, James is a genius. Okay, well, all right. Anyone else? Who's the hardest person for you to love?
Me. Ever. Who's the hardest person for you to love?
Oh, okay, not a good idea to do that. Okay. Evelyn, who's the hardest person for you to love?
Trump.
Okay. All right, so we have a variety of answers here. I have a beanbag toss game for us to kind of see visually about sharing our love. I have one bucket for family. Oftentimes, family are the easiest for us to love because they show us love. A bucket for friends, and a bucket for strangers or enemies. And I'm going to spread the bucket if you can kind of move to the side. Strangers back there. Put friends here. Okay, and I want everyone to come stand behind me. Come stand behind me.
I'm gonna be on Freya's team. I'm on my sister's team.
I'm gonna give each of you a beanbag. Here, back up. Here you go. Here you go, Will. And Owen. Okay, back up. And now you're each going to get one turn to toss. These are our little bean bags of love. And we're going to try to share our love. And I want you to aim for either the family bin or the friends or strangers or enemies. And we're going to see what happens. So you're each going to get one toss. And everyone else is going to get to try this too. All right. One toss. And then go watch everyone else. Good job. You can make room for everyone else. Good job. Oh, we got one in the friends. Nice. Okay. Go ahead, James. Oh, That almost made it. That almost made it. He almost got it into the strangers or enemies. That was awesome. Okay, Alex. Oh, so close. You want to do one more, James? Okay. And then Will's going to go next. Oh, you're so close. Okay, go ahead, Will. Let's see. Who are you going to try to give that love to? Family, friends, or strangers? Oh, so close. So I think this is a really good example of how when we try our best to love everybody, whether it's family, friends, strangers, or enemies, sometimes no matter how hard we try, it still doesn't quite work the way we want, even though we try our best. The station is going to be left open to anyone else who wants to play during our prayer stations. And you can even change the orders of the buckets. I know sometimes it's easier to give love to friends than family. I don't know if other people have experienced that before. So you can change the order of the buckets if you want. And there's not going to be Sunday school today after this. So I want the parents, if your children are younger, you can go through the prayer stations with them. Older kids, you can kind of go around and check out the prayer stations yourself. And if there's a bulletin insert that has questions to consider for those of you who want to stay seated during our prayer stations. But I'm going to go ahead and dismiss us, and you guys can go ahead and explore our different stations on ways to share love today. Thanks. All right, this signals the end of our time for prayer stations today. Please just stop where you are. Please just stop right where you are for some closing words before returning to our seats to sing Jesus Loves Me. I hope these stations have been useful tools for you to renew your dedication towards showing love to all, and you keep these thoughts close to your heart as you move forward into a week. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you alone are the source of peace and abundance. Forgive when we have not been as generous as you call us to be. Just as you modeled humility in a self-giving posture of life, empower us to be people who offer extravagant love to all we encounter. Amen.
Thank you. Although it is not in the bulletin this morning, as there are, this is a time for joys and concerns and cares of the congregation. And if you have one you'd like to share, please do so now. Yes, ma'am. We don't have a mic. Well, here it comes.
Good morning. Paula Sousa. Sorry about that. I have a joy. In October, the Kodak Band lost its conductor. He died suddenly at the age of 70. He was the only conductor we had ever had. In fact, he started the band. But through a search, we've been very fortunate to get a new conductor. And I have to add that this is a volunteer position. And we had our first concert with him last week. And it's just a joy for us to continue our mission in music.
Thank you.
Jenny Barley.
I can't hear you.
Oh. Is it on? Anyway, y'all know Colton. He's my grandson. Colton, and many of you know that Colton is a championship wrestler for Gates Chilai. Well, this weekend he placed fourth in states, but even more important, he was awarded the Division I Sportsmanship Award.
Oh.
And so, along with this, he's an excellent student. Which brings me to my request for you to watch Channel 10 News on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, where he will be celebrated as the Scholar Athlete of the Week by Channel 10.
Wonderful. Amen.
Kate Stanford, many months ago I told you about the friend of mine whose son was hit by the truck when he was riding home. Well, he is doing well, but his mother was just diagnosed with breast cancer. Jeez. So if you could keep that family in your prayers.
Anne-Marie Sim, I have a friend in Long Island who was found unconscious. They took him to the hospital, and he's still in and out of consciousness, so I'd like you to pray for Horace. Thank you.
My name is Dee Warren, and probably a lot of you don't know me. I used to be a Stroh. And for the last 3 years, Scottsville's Union Presbyterian Church has been seeking a pastor, and last week we found one. It's a great joy for me. Thank you.
Jerry Crandall. Pam, and I just want to thank everyone for your cards, your calls, your thoughts, and your prayers. And the attendance at the calling hours for our daughter, and also for attending the funeral. She was a lovely girl, and by the way, we just get 93 cards the last 2 days, so she was loved by a lot of people. Thank you.
David and Mary Kilgore, and the joy is getting to come back for a Sunday and see all of you. Thank you.
I'd just like to add to Jerry and Pam's statement about their daughter. I had the privilege of being at the memorial service. There had to be maybe 1,000 people there. And Shelley was only 38 when she passed. And I think the takeaway from that is, if you think as one person you can't change lives or affect lives around you, I think that's a beautiful example of how many people she touched in her life. And it was a great testimony to her life.
Let us pray. As we did last Sunday, as we come to God in prayer, when I say, Lord, in your mercy, will the congregation please respond, hear our prayer. God of all seasons and senses, you have sent the wind, the hoary frost of heaven, on hill and wood and field, and laid there a silent loveliness. We mumble and complain, and yet we are compelled to stop our frenetic pace and admire the beauty of the world that you have made. Lord, in your mercy. O potentate of time, in this season of gray and white and cold, teach us the lessons of waiting, sure of the internal power of hunkered-down seeds growing in their sleep, watched over by grandparent trees, resting and waiting silently while the whirling earth circles, turns back home to the sun. Lord, in your mercy. God of forever, God of eternity, you have blessed us with time, a time to worship, a time to pray, a time to live in faithfulness. By your Son and by his Spirit, you visit us in the seasons of our lives. Before us have gone generations of your servants who have tasted your love, some very, very recently. They now touch your mercy, and they have accepted your forgiveness, and they have ventured into your purpose. We thank you, O God, for them. Patriarch, matriarch, leaders, judges, servants, saviors, saints, apostles, prophets, martyrs, reformers, daughters and sons, mothers and fathers, whose stories are preserved for us in our holy history remembered and in Holy Scripture. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord of the Church, we thank you for this congregation, Gates Presbyterian Church. Keep them, O God, as a sanctuary from the hostilities and inequalities of the world. May Gates Presbyterian Church be a center of beauty amidst the ugliness and the scars of common life. May it be an oasis of comfort amidst the vicissitudes of living and dying. And yet, may this congregation be aware that your Spirit afflicts the comfortable. So keep this congregation, O God, from placating narrowness, entertaining the status quo, and rearranging minutia when bold mission is needed. May this congregation be a place that seeks to keep civilization civilized, to inject culture with quality, and inject humanity into the economy. May we all be drawn into the cause of Christ, in whose name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Freely we have received, freely let us give. Our morning offering will now be received.
great and loving creator of all things, we just sang these words in the doxology. We are called to act with justice. In a world that is so divided, so full of corruption and selfishness, we ask that you use these gifts to guide us to be the light of your truth and your justice and to bravely lead the way. We are called to love tenderly. In a world that is filled with so much war and hate, so much fear, discrimination and oppression, teach us how to use these gifts to further your work on earth and to bring compassion and love to all. We are called to serve one another. Help us to use these gifts to further your mission by serving those in need, those who are lonely, those who are lost, those who are afraid. Take us out of our own comfort zones and encourage us to walk with these gifts into the unknown, into worlds that we cannot even imagine except when we see it on the nightly news, but we do not feel the stress and despair of those living in it. Place us right in the center of the turmoil to show our Christian love and compassion, to walk humbly with God. Help us to understand that we do not need to wear our Christianity on our sleeves, to think that we are better than someone else or higher than someone in the unseen society, to be judgmental or critical of those who may not think like us. Instead, teach us how to use these gifts to take the time to listen to their stories, to hold their hands when they are suffering or hurt, to do good without expectation of reward or honor. For through you, all things are possible, and believing that, another world is possible. Let us use these gifts to make it so. Amen.
Thank you.
one of the dangers of experiencing a worship service like we've had is that we turn it into our enemy and we go home grumbling, saying, well, that wasn't very much like church. Well, that's true. It wasn't. But look for God in the details tonight. Look for God in the details of what we've experienced. All this candy on the communion table, symbolism there. The light shining on the baptismal font. The good deeds that we placed there. I'm going to bring some snacks to my grumpy neighbor. It's very easy to turn ourselves and our world into enemies. This day we are challenged to love our enemies. And sometimes that enemy is ourselves. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest upon us this day and forevermore. Amen.